Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
...2021 marks two decades since 9/11, and the recent exit by American troops from Afghanistan seems to be the end of an era. But the true impact of 9/11 isn't limited to military intervention and occupation. Rafaelion Media, based in Portland, has produced a seven-part podcast series on the American Muslim experience following 9/11. It's called King of the World, and it traces the events following the tragedy, like the war on terror and rising Islamophobia, alongside the coming of age of Pakistani-American Shah Jahan Khan. I spoke with two of the producers of the podcast to learn more.
I'm Shah Jahan Khan. I'm the host of King of the World, as well as a producer with Rafaelion Media.
And I'm Saad Butt, CEO of Rafaelion and producer for the show for King of the World.
Very cool. So to start, can you speak a little bit about Rafaelion? How did your media organization come into being?
Yeah, so it came about a year and a half ago, after the murder of George Floyd. I kind of took a step back to kind of think about, you know, how I could be a part of the conversation that was happening, you know, across the world, and, you know, taking inspiration from the protesters in Portland and people in this community. You know, I decided that I wanted to help my community, which is the American Muslim community, to elevate their voices and get our stories out there. And so Rafaelion, we launched it earlier this year with our first podcast, which is American Muslim Project, which is a weekly podcast just interviewing notable American Muslims that are doing things in music and acting and politics, you name it. And then this is our flagship podcast called King of the World, and we'll obviously talk about it. But yeah, you know, we're starting with the Muslim community, we're starting with podcasts, but the goal is to elevate other community voices as well. So the immigrant community, the LGBTQ community, the Asian American community, and then we'll eventually go into film and TV as well as podcasts.
Okay, sweet. So yeah. So your new podcast, King of the World, is a seven-part series about American Muslim life after 9/11, and the first episode is out now. It's almost the 20th anniversary of 9/11, so this reflection on the impact on American Muslims is obviously very timely. So what inspired Shah Jahan for you to examine your personal experience and the experiences of other American Muslim communities in this way? And Asad, I'd love your input as well.
So originally when Asad had approached me to do a show with him and with Rafaelion, we were tossing around a few ideas. And, you know, I've been a musician and stuff for about 15, 20 years. I've been, you know, an activist in that as well, in my punk band and stuff. I initially was very hesitant because I was like, I'm kind of sick of talking about 9/11, to be perfectly honest. But the approach with this show is that, like it or not, this was an event that defined the trajectory of my life and, you know, for a lot of people in general, but definitely like the American Muslim community for sure. It's a day that you see it all the time. It's pre that and then post that. There's nothing, you know, it's nothing was ever the same. So, and then looking at my own kind of life journey in the last 20 years, one that has included music, it's included recovery. You know, I just celebrated 10 years sober this year. You know, and just all these different kind of facets of my identity. It really appealed to me to look at the last 20 years, looking at the last 20 years along the timeline of my own life and what was going on during those periods of time, you know, along with the wider context of the American Muslim experience, of the national headlines, you know, like as we were going to war, you know, the war on terror was beginning, the Iraq war, Afghanistan, you know, the Muslim ban, the Patriot Act, things like that. So looking at those as they're happening, looking at what was happening in my life, and then talking to, you know, two or three other people that were directly sort of impacted by some of those events, who, whether it's a Muslim soldier who found himself in Iraq, or a person who was a victim of a anti-Muslim, super violent hate crime, or, you know, whether it's like talking to a Muslim therapist about what all this stuff means. So once we started to kind of talk about the way it could come together. That's what really like got me super excited about the project. And that's kind of how the name came about too. My name, Shah Jahan, my parents named me, it literally means king of the world. So we were just kind of joking about it and we just realized it was a perfect title. I was technically named after the Mughal emperor who built the Taj Mahal in India. But anyway, so it all just kind of, we were figuring out as we went along, you know, like we would. So it's a new thing, definitely for me. It's new for both Asad and I, and then for our whole team as well. It was just very, and it has a very like DIY kind of feel to it, which is something I've always been super into.
I just want to add to that, and that is, you know, originally when we kind of came over, when I was thinking about this, I thought it was going to be a lot more historical. And then as we were talking with Shah Jahan, I wanted him to be the host and share some of the stories. We realized like every time we're talking about something, whether it be the war on terror or the Trump ban or whatever, he had like a personal story that was so compelling. And so it kind of morphed as we were producing this to be, you know, 50-50 about Shah Jahan's life and his journey, you know, set against the backdrop of the American Muslim history over the last 20 years. And it weaves perfectly. We think we're a little biased, but you know, it's fascinating to see how he was impacted and so much of so many things that he's forgotten or, you know, over the last 20 years that came back just because we were talking about all these things that happened to the American Muslim community. It's been hard for us. You know, it's been hard for every single American Muslim. We all have stories of othering, Islamophobia, and some of them are worse for some people than others, but we all have stories, you know?
Right. And might I compliment the podcast at this moment? I listened to the first episode and I kind of geeked out on the sound design.
We'll tell our yeah, sound designer.
When I say DIY, we have some great, great folks working on it. You know, I hope, you know, Mark and Simon, huge shout outs to those two guys for putting the whole thing together. But I didn't mean DIY in that sense. I guess I meant in terms of like, it reminds me of like when my band first came together, just kind of like not really like knowing what we're just figuring out as we go along.
Yeah. Shah Jahan did the theme song for it as well.
Nice. So yeah, we'll dip into some post 9/11 talk. I hope that's all right.
Of course. That's the subject of the podcast. Yeah. So I'm kind of asking for it now.
we're in it at this point. So yeah. The phrase post 9/11 is thrown around a lot to explain different phenomena in the past 20 years, whether that's changes in geopolitics or airport security, but as you know, the podcast dives into it, has an extra set of implication for American Muslims. So why do you think it's important to unpack those in the podcast? Are there misconceptions that you would hope to dispel?
I think one of the most important things for people to take away is that, and I mentioned this definitely in the show, and 9/11 essentially, what it did for a lot of, at least for me, I will say, and from folks that I've spoken to, it forced our Muslimness to immediately overnight be the most significant thing about us. So in that sense, that's what that term, I think, at least for me, means living in a post 9/11 era, you know? So I don't know, Asad, if you wanted to.
I mean, I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, taking it one step forward, we had to answer for our religion from everybody, from our friends to our, you know, colleagues to classmates to professors. You know, we were also, I think a lot of us Muslims were also trying to figure out what role religion played in our lives. I think the assumption from the world is that every Muslim is religious, right? And that's certainly not the case. We all know that inherently, but like, you know, we weren't kind of allowed to explore what religion meant to us in this post 9/11 world because everybody saw us as a Muslim. And so we're always on the defensive and always trying to, you know, like be on the defensive and trying to figure out what it meant to us while everybody else was kind of forcing this Muslimness on us.
Yeah. And it's all, again, in the context of the post 9/11, when we say stuff like the post 9/11 media landscape, that's also the post internet landscape, you know, that's also the post social media or the beginnings of social media. So we're literally seeing all of these things kind of happening at the same time where, you know, everybody, all of a sudden everybody has Facebook and stuff or, you know, Fox News is getting super huge. And there's all this media and stuff like happening. And so all of this is in conjunction with, you know, like us, like bombing countries that I'm tangentially from, you know, or like that kind of stuff. So that also I think is part of it.
Yeah, and so with the American exit from Afghanistan, which happened just this week, there might be a perception out there that like the book is closed on the after effects of 9/11. Do you think that's true? What aspects are there that persist, and are there lessons to be learned?
I mean, not at all. I mean, I think that with our, I mean, frankly, our defeat in Afghanistan, you know, like things have been awful there for like 20 years, you know, and it's not just that, the tendency of our media a lot is to kind of like when things, I guess, flare up, you know, it's sort of like, oh, okay, so this stuff is like back in the news, and then like something else distracts us, or like, you know, we go to that and we kind of like forget that this has been like an ongoing, I mean, Afghanistan specifically has been an ongoing thing, and it was like a really nice place to go and vacation and stuff like that. So I think that we're hoping with this show to, you know, to continually, I feel like part of my life has been just sort of trying to add context to like people's just limited perceptions about stuff. So to just add some kind of like nuance to whatever someone might know, you know, even just literally the other day, I was, my mechanic, I was getting my car from him, and, you know, he's a great guy and stuff. But I remember, you know, I gave him actually the trailer for this show. And he was like, oh man, yeah. And then inevitably, you know, going into a discussion about like that part of the world, you know, and like, oh, they don't want what we have. And just these very simplistic, like ways to not just paint like a whole, like, what is the Muslim world? Like, what does that even mean? You know, like, it's just the world. There are different countries in the world, some of which are Muslim, you know? And so, yeah, I hope that sort of answers your question. I went on like a million tangents there.
Can I add one thing? And that is, I think that at least for the American Muslim community, I feel like we've, over the last 20 years, we've had these kind of waves where like we think Islamophobia and othering is like over, or the waves are going down. Like when Obama was elected, you know, that was amazing for a lot of people of color in this country. And then, you know, all the things about him being a Muslim, or, you know, like an Arab or whatever, like flared its ugly head, but still, like, you know, Islamophobia was, you know, going up and then kind of came back down. And then Trump happened, and like, you know, I think we all felt like we let our guards down. Like we thought that Islamophobia was kind of solved before kind of Trump and his rhetoric came about. And so I don't think with the Afghanistan war ending, you know, this kind of era of post 9/11 changing or shifting, I mean, I think we're still going to see these waves until, you know, the American community kind of gets to know us better. And I think this is part of that journey for Americans, we hope.
So yeah, to circle back to the podcast, you touched on this a little bit, but what do you hope that people who listen to the podcast come away with?
Yeah, I mean, and this doesn't just apply to Muslims, but if when I say we, I'm saying we like all of my different identities, right? So I'm saying if we don't tell our own stories, others are not going to tell them for us. I think that there was some period of time where, you know, and we're seeing all these different kinds of conversations and representation in the media, or, you know, for example, in film or whatever, like, you know, it's one thing to like be represented, you know, in a small way in a film or something. It's a whole different thing to have written the film yourself. It's one thing to like be an intern at some legislator's office. It's another thing to like be a senator or, you know, or something like that. So it's kind of like this sort of like maybe second or third wave of creators or people in the public eye. I consider myself maybe somebody who was in this first wave and now using some of those lessons to like be part of this next wave as well, I guess, like with this podcast and stuff. Like, I would hope that people would be able to use a podcast like this as a vehicle to then just like listen to more stuff like this, you know, because like, by, as I said at the beginning, like this is by no means like meant to be every Muslim story or anything like that. It's just it's one story in this like whole in the whole thing here.
And I would just add to that, you know, I think certainly we want other Muslims who have struggled with their identity to understand, with, if they listen to this, that it's okay. Like a lot of us have struggled with this, and we've gone through a lot of shit together. And I think for our non-Muslim listeners, I think of people like my wife, who's not Muslim, you know, like she's married. She we married for a couple of years, and you know, I don't think I've really ever fully explained what it's been like to be a Muslim, you know, in the last 20 years. I mean, she's gotten bits and pieces of it, you know, so people who are have Muslims in their family or work with a Muslim, or maybe their best friend is a Muslim, but really didn't really know like what it was like for us in the last 20 years, you know, just for them to take away like a little bit of our history and get to know us a little better, and be an ally.
And yeah, one last thing I would say is that these sorts of conversations can be extremely therapeutic. You know, I know this whole project for me was immensely therapeutic, just to having these incredible conversations. And thank you for listening to the episode.
Yeah,
you know,
I appreciate that.
Those things with my family and stuff just come in, like learning new stuff. And even just today from the launch of the show, I've been getting texts from friends, you know, from that high school. Like, you know, one friend, she literally was like, who the F said that? Who was it? You know, and then in the same text was like, listen, I'm sorry that I wasn't a better friend to you. And just me being like, no, it wasn't about that. But just like, you know. So what an incredible, like, and privileged opportunity. That was a little more than what you asked for.
No, that's awesome. So, I mean, to that end, if our listeners are interested in hearing the podcast for themselves or learning more about your projects, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just subscribe to King of the World. Anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also go to our company website, Refelion. That's R, like R like rat. I don't know why I said rat. R-I-F like father, E-L-I-O-N like Nancy, Refelion.com/KOTW. And you can find out more about the show, and you can actually just subscribe right from there.
Very cool. And do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up? Anything we didn't cover?
I mean, I think just one last thing is like, Shahjahan is a remarkable storyteller, and it was just my responsibility to get out of the way to let him do, you know, his job of sharing this experience with the world. And I really think that no matter who you are, you're going to relate to something that Shahjahan has gone through over the last 20 years, and you're going to take away some lessons and learn and have some fun as well.
I guess for me, I mean, I've had the privilege of doing many different things over the last 20 years. I've been toured in a rock band. I've been an actor, a voice actor, and as I said, like a person in long-term recovery. Even I've worked as like a behavioral health consultant. I have a master's in community psychology. But this has been like the most incredible project like I've ever been involved with. So that's like, I think I just wanted to say that. And thank you, Asad.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today. I look forward to hearing the rest of the episodes as they come out.
Yeah, thanks, Althea. Let us know what you think.
That was my conversation with Shahjahan Khan and Asad Butt, two of the producers behind the new podcast King of the World from Refelion Media. The first episode of their 7-part series is out now on podcasting platforms. Find links related to this story on our website, kbu.fm. You're listening to KBOO News in Depth. I'm Althea Billings.